All right, so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, if you would. And I was trying to tell Josh, I'm going to try to target ending, because today's a party day. I'm going to try to end roughly 12. If someone could tell them in Children's Church, that'd be great. Try to coordinate there. Matthew chapter 1, please stand with me if you could. Whew. And it's a little warm in here, right? It's like super cold outside. You're cold? You're cold? Oh my. That's our brother that came from the boogie down Bronx. How many buses did you take to get here?
Three.
Oh, you took train. Three. Oh boy. Keep that brother in prayer. Praise God that you made it. All right. For the rest of us, it's kind of warm. It's cold. All right, so let's start reading here. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start reading from verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Father in heaven, we ask that you would open up your holy word to us. Help us to understand your word more clearly today. Anoint us for this time. Anoint my mere words, Lord. Forgive me because I'm a mere human being. We all are, Lord. We need you. We thank you for your perfect Messiah, this perfect King, perfect Savior, perfect scriptures. Everything's perfect about you. And yet you want to share this truth during this time of year about your prophesied virgin birth of Messiah. Help us to grasp this a little better. Equip us. Equip the saints for the work of ministry here, God. Because we know that later on this week, or maybe even today, we're going to meet with people, family, friends, neighbors, coworkers that don't know you, Lord. So utilize our lives. Teach us your word of truth, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You can have a seat if you guys would. So I'm going to ask you to follow with me back in time a little bit on a little journey in the Bible, starting from the Old Testament. If any of you recall, the fall of mankind is in the first book of the Bible. What chapter is that? Genesis chapter 3. God was already prophesying the virgin birth of Messiah Jesus. Many of us don't know this, perhaps. But right after mankind fell in the Garden of Eden, God was already setting the stage. So that's what we're going to look at here first. We're going to see how God sets the stage through prophecy and how in the New Testament, also called New Covenant, how God wrote this thing that you and I call the New Testament. And much of it, including in Matthew's gospel, was written to show how these things were fulfilled. So prophecy was given all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. God was letting us know what to look for and who would be Messiah. Again, we're first setting the stage before we jump into the New Testament. So how would Messiah be birthed? He's letting us know. Look at this in Genesis 3. I have it on display. You could turn there if you wish, but I want you to at least know right at the beginning of the Bible. Verse 15, Genesis 3, verse 15 says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and I color-coded some of these, says her seed. Notice it's capital S. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So this quote here of her seed, think about this. Now, we know in woke America, and as New York City gets more and more woke, so to speak, the reality and the truth still stands. Amen? People can try to change their gender. Don't work. Still in your DNA. A guy trying to be a girl does not have what it takes to birth a child, right? Same thing for a girl trying to be a guy. Doesn't work. So who has the seed? Men or women? Men. Pretty simple. So this seed, this is a prophecy already of Messiah that he's going to come through a woman who is a virgin. That's already there right after the fall. So God's actually speaking to almost like verbally spanking Satan here, the serpent, the devil, telling him there's going to be a prophecy. There's going to be a, quote, seed that's going to be birthed through a woman. So in his prophecies of the virgin birth, God's letting us know about these things that How would this Messiah be birthed? It's going to be birthed through a virgin. Already, third chapter of the Holy Bible. Now, as he continues to set the stage, who would this Messiah be? This is Isaiah 7, verse 14. Most of you guys know this. Especially this time of year, we tend to quote this. You'll see it in memes all across the internet. Isaiah 7, verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So further going on now, in the book of Isaiah, we see that the prophecy is starting to continue to show and snowball and show more and more of who this Messiah would be. It's a prophecy, again, of a female virgin. You got to say the genders nowadays. Female virgin to conceive, and she's going to give birth to a male Messiah. Now, I put it that way because why? Because God knows genders. Amen? Two genders. Notice this, Isaiah 7, verse 14. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Capital S. Speaking of who? Jesus. And shall call his, capital H, name Emmanuel. Okay, so the pronouns are there. Talking about pronouns. The pronouns are there. So Emmanuel, we know this as especially illustrated in the New Testament. Emmanuel means what? God with us. Oftentimes we don't think about this. It probably gets so sterilized and sanitized by continual repetition. We remember these things. We hear them quoted year after year. Even by retellers, perhaps, or on memes on the internet, but we forget Emmanuel, that God would be with us through this Messiah. In other words, he would be God himself. The prophecy of Messiah being God. This is it. This is one of them. Continuing on. So now that we know who Messiah would be, where would he be born? This is found in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Again, we're just setting the stage because God is setting it up so that you could not miss who Messiah would be. It's impossible for anybody else in antiquity. So others might say, there's one guy that was born or at least popular with the Jews in Brooklyn. He died, stayed dead. There's others around the world claiming to be Messiahs. Okay, so riddle me this, Batman. How many people can be birthed through a virgin? None, right? So think about that. And that's just one of the prophecies. But where would this Messiah be born? Micah 5, verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." So the prophecy of Messiah, he's going to be born in Bethlehem Ephrathah. Now, we'll come back to that in a little bit in the New Testament. So where would the Messiah be born? Bethlehem Ephrathah. Now, very specific. We'll get back to that in a little bit, by the way, and we'll get to this again in a bit. But know this, because anybody that claims to be Messiah today, can I see your birth certificate? Were you born in Bethlehem Ephrathah? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? And by the way, there's two Bethlehems in that region in the Promised Land. We'll get to that in just a little bit. So, and God's prophecy is going further now. Again, he's just setting the stage for Messiah to come on the scene of this virgin birth. God's also letting us know about his social status. What will Messiah's social status be? You guys have probably heard this one before too. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Lovely, lovely prophecy. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Bunch of things there. But a couple of things that we want to look at are the prophecies of the virgin birth. A child is born. This is a prophecy of Messiah to be born. It's like, okay, big deal. A lot of us are born. Anybody here born? Look at all these unborn people. Anyhow. We're all born. Notice it says a son is given. A child is born and a son is given. So prophecy of Messiah to be born, but yet prophecy of Messiah to be adopted. The Messiah would be a son and he'd be adopted. I like that. There's so many people across the world today because of wars and situations that are adopted. They can identify with Jesus and he identifies with them. So this prophecy is that Messiah, his, you might call a social status, a social situation. Joseph, by the way, was stepdad. Joseph and him did not share DNA. Can you imagine growing up, being a kid, playing out there in the fields, like, how come your nose don't look like dad's nose? Maybe Joseph had a big nose and Jesus had a little one, or vice versa. Or maybe one is darker, one's lighter. We don't know. They didn't share DNA like that, though. Because Joseph was not his DNA dad. Joseph was a stepdad. All right. So that was setting the stage. Those are the main prophecies. There's some that are a little obscure that could be, perhaps. But those are the main prophecies about the virgin birth of Messiah Jesus. That's it. To exhaust the entire 39-book Old Testament. Now, when it comes to fulfilling these prophecies, we now move on into, as we open up here in Matthew chapter 1. Let's look at this again. Matthew 1, as we see, the stage has now been set. The world would know what to look for. Please understand these. We just covered, what is it, like four of the main prophecies about how Messiah would be. So anybody that comes on the scene claiming to be a Messiah, guess what you know about them? Are they a true Messiah? No, they're a false Messiah. Only Yeshua. Let's read this. Matthew 1, verse 18, like we opened up. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ, or Messiah, was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, so they were engaged, before they came together, okay, before they consummated the marriage, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. It speaks of the fact that she had a baby bump. Okay. As you put in proper language today, she was showing. She had a baby bump. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. All right, so Joseph was engaged to be married to Mary. But God's law stated that she must remain a virgin until married. So here's what Torah says, and you can see it on the screen. Hopefully it's not too tiny. But it's in Deuteronomy chapter 22. So if you're wondering, it's like, what's going on there? Well, here's what it says. Deuteronomy 22, verse 21 and on. Then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones. So there's a problem with this prophecy. It stated, and this is already in Torah. Think of this. Because a lot of people look at this and go, oh man, the Bible's so legalistic. Yes, it's a good way to live, to stay clean and pure until marriage. Amen? It's just that way. But also, God was showing this impossibility of Messiah to be born. So now we have a problem with this prophecy. Because Joseph and Mary are there. They're not yet married. Legally, it's as if they are, but they're technically engaged, betrothed to be married. And uh-oh, she's got a baby bump. Imagine being Mary coming home. Joe, I got some news to tell you. Right? How would you, you know, describe that? How would you say that? Would you send a text first? What would you do? And imagine being Joseph. You hear the news. You don't have to hear the news. This actually tells you technically you could see the news. Like, excuse me? I know that I didn't fall down drunk one day and this is not for me. How did that happen? So the problem with this prophecy is that the Israeli girls had to remain pure. They had to remain a virgin until being married. But now you've got Mary on the scene. And Joseph, he was a just man. He was someone that he would have been a good Jewish boy. Mary as well. They're trying to live according to Torah. But the problem with this prophecy is that if before they got married, before they consummated the marriage, if she had cheated on him, she deserved to die. It wasn't just a verbal lashing. It wasn't, I'm going to take away your allowance. I'm going to take away the car keys. You can't borrow the car anymore. Public stoning. Pretty crazy, we might think. Okay, let's continue on. Verse 21 says, they shall stone her to death with stones because she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel to play the harlot in her father's house. So you shall put away the evil from among you. Verse 22 says, if a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. The man that lay with the woman and the woman, so you shall put away the evil from Israel. So the problem with this prophecy is not only Joseph and everybody around going, okay, who is the dude? Joseph. No, it wasn't me, Mom. I promise. Okay, so where's the dude? Because according to Deuteronomy, both of them have to publicly die. That's a challenge. Verse 23, if a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband, this is their case, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out of the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. Again, a public killing, a public stoning, as if to say, don't do this. The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife, so you shall put away the evil from among you. All right, so because, and I put it here in the little bullet at the bottom there, because it was assumed that Mary didn't keep her virginity until marriage, Torah, God's law, declared that she should be stoned to death. And this is where we pick up now in Matthew chapter 1. But did she cheat on Joe? No. Imagine, how would you describe that? Gals, what would you say? Right? Because you're showing. You don't need to take no Prego test. You're showing. It's like he can go, all right, that ain't first trimester. That puppy's showing. Let's continue on. Let's see how the story develops. Verse 20, it says, but while he thought about these things, he wanted to, so to speak, divorce her or put her away privately. He didn't want her to die. You got to give that to him. It's like, that's pretty cool. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And, verse 21, she will bring forth a son. Joe, you're going to be a dad. Nothing like the news that God brings, right? Back then, this would have been similar to dads to be today. Anybody go to see the sonogram? I did with both our kids. Once you see that, you're like, oh. It brings it home more, right? So there's no sonogram back then, of course. They didn't have that technology. But imagine God's now telling him, you're going to be a dad. And it's going to be a boy. Now it gets personal for Joe. She will bring forth a son. Notice, she had to do something, and he had to do something. Again, the prophecy. A Messiah, son, will be born, and a son will be given. She will bring forth a son, comma, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, or Yehoshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, the name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. God himself would personally be your salvation. Now, when it came to Mary, notice this prophecy even further going on. She will bring forth a son. And when it came to Joseph, it says, you shall call his name Jesus. So, Joseph had to take this baby boy as if it was his own. He had to, again, adopt a son. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This is the prophecy now. The prophecy is that Joseph had to adopt him because he had to come out, Messiah had to come out of Joseph's lineage. And get this, check this out. So because Joseph was a man in Israel, he had to name the boy. Remember over in Luke's book, the other gospel, the father of John the Baptist. You guys remember his name? Zacharias. He goes into the temple. It was his allotted time to put forth the incense, the most beloved thing the priest would do. He sees an angel. He doubts the fact that, you mean my wife? The hardware, the plumbing ain't working. She's going to have a son. What? And what did the angel do? Zip the lip, right? He wasn't able to speak for about 9 months. And then when John the Baptist was to be named, the wife's like, oh, he's going to be John. No, there's nobody in that with that name in your family. Because they would name him after, within the lineage going up. And they turned to John. He had to write it out. His name's going to be what? John. So then God allowed him to speak. So the father had to name the son. He had to take it as his own. I love that. So now back here to Joseph and his story. Being the man, Joseph had to name this boy Jesus, Yeshua. God himself will be your salvation. This fulfilled this prophecy that we looked at earlier of Isaiah 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born. So Messiah would be born as a child to this young virgin woman. And it says, unto us a son is given. Son is given because Joseph had to adopt this Messiah as his own son. It was given to him. The Messiah would be male, he would be born, and Messiah would be adopted. I like that. Messiah's mission. His name is going to be Jesus. Why? He's going to save his people from their sins, including yours and mine, right? Now, Christians, church, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time of year that many of us are going to be with people that the name Christ, okay, is on their lips. Maybe they'll say Christmas, and that's an open door opportunity for you to share about this Messiah. This is a time of year you're going to be around family, perhaps, or friends that you're not normally around all the time, or coworkers. It even happens with me, where I could be with people, and maybe they look at things, or it could be displays at a store, and all of a sudden, oh, that's an open door to talk to them about Messiah. Here's the reason for the season, as we might say. Let's equip ourselves so that we can help one another, but also that others can know this Messiah like you and I do. Amen? We need to know. So Messiah's mission is he's going to save people from their sins. And church, ladies and gentlemen, not just you and me. He's a savior for the world. Amen? He's a savior. Let's continue on. Matthew 1, verse 22. It says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, verse 24, it says, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her, notice it says, what does it say there? Firstborn son. Now, when God says that Jesus, the Father in heaven says that Jesus is his only begotten son, that means one and only one. Never to be another. Not like that. But when it comes to Mary, Jesus was her firstborn son. What does that mean? Later on, after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary got together. And let's just say Jesus had a lot of stepbrothers, okay? Some of them wrote some of the books in the New Testament. Anybody remember some of those books? James is one, and Jude is another. So Mary had Jesus as her firstborn son, it says. She had brought forth her firstborn son. In other words, Jesus was just a firstborn son. She had other sons, and he called his name Jesus. Again, she birthed him. He, Joseph, had to call his name Jesus. So this fulfilled the prophecy from Genesis 3, verse 15, that Messiah was going to come through a woman who's a virgin. It also fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 7, verse 14, and Isaiah 9, verse 6, that a female virgin would conceive and give birth to this male Messiah. And the Messiah would be Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Think about that, Christian. That God will be with you through Jesus. The only way to get to the Heavenly Father is through who? Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, through him. That's it. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's true. So there's a prophecy that Messiah would be Emmanuel, that through Jesus, God would be with us. Let's continue on. Now, going into chapter 2, check this out. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, we don't know how much time has transpired. It's always assumed in the movies and all that Jesus is still a little baby. But chapter 2, we don't know. By the way, it says wise men. How many wise men? How many? We don't know. You guys know those songs? We three kings of old. How do you know there's three kings? We don't know if there's three. We don't know if they're kings. Now, I'm sorry, you guys, some of you guys, there's a lot of Latinos, a lot of Hispanics here, right? You grew up on, you hear of like Three Kings Day, right? Who here has heard of that? Now you could teach them proper biblical doctrine. I don't know if there's tres. I don't know if there's kings. How do we think they're kings? Because of man's tradition. It's not in the Bible. Please understand that. All right, so it just says wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, verse 2, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Verse 5, so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, this is what we looked at earlier from Micah. But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler, capital R, ruler, speaking of Jesus, who will shepherd my people Israel. So Matthew records this because this fulfills the prophecy from Micah 5, verse 2, of, again, where Messiah would be born. Now, for many of us, Gentile Christians living on this side of the world, the other side of the planet, we're like, okay, Bethlehem. There's a Bethlehem in Pennsylvania. It's like, where is that? Well, you go back in antiquity, in the promised land in Israel, there were two Bethlehems. I love how specific and how accurate God's word is. Amen? He says it's Bethlehem of Judea. Seeing here on the screen from Matthew 2, fulfilling the prophecy from Micah 5. So Bethlehem in Judah, or Bethlehem Judea, you might see here on the map. I did up this little map in my Bible study software and captured it. And like, I got to show where this is. So Bethlehem of Judea, or Judah, think of how we're studying this in the Old Testament times, the historical books on Wednesdays. After King Solomon, the kingdom in the promised land was split between the north, called Israel, and the south, called what? Judah, or Judea. And Judah was the only region that had good kings. How many good kings in Israel? Zero. Isn't that crazy to think of? So down south, that was the city of David. Down south, they had good kings. The southern kingdom, or Judah, or Judea, they had the temple. They were closer to God. They're closer to the presence of God. They were closer to fulfilling Scripture, to being obedient to Scripture. The north, they fell quicker to idolatry, which meant that God would remove his presence. You remember the book of Judges we went through on Wednesdays. Went through the entire book, looked at every chapter, every verse, cycle that they went through, right? Cry out to God. God raised up a judge. They're like, yay, thank you, God. After that, they forget God. They start worshiping idols again. They just went through this crazy cycle. So the southern kingdom was called Judah or Judea. We Gentile Christians over here in America, we don't know this. So it's good when you're studying the Bible to know the geographical context. So when we read this passage about the fact that Messiah is going to come out of Bethlehem of Judah, even people back then, they're like, which Bethlehem? It's not the one up north you see on the map in the red. That's in Israel, the northern region. The one in the south, called Bethlehem, that's near Jerusalem, near the temple area, the city of David. This is the prophecy of where Messiah was prophesied to be born. So it was the one down south. So I don't know about you, I love how accurate God's word is. You guys love that? Amen? Very specific. Not even to this day. If you grow up in America, you might think Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. There's like a whole bunch of cities across America that are named Bethlehem after this. So the region of the promised land had two Bethlehems. Which Bethlehem must Messiah be born in? It's the one that you and I call today, this region, this area, Jerusalem. I love that. Let's continue reading on, and then we're going to have to close here. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him also. You think King Herod is telling the truth? No, he lying, right? Why would King Herod want to know where Messiah was? He wanted to kill him. He's like, what? He wanted to kill him. He was jealous. Let's continue on. Verse 9, when they heard the king, They departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child. Notice it says young child. It doesn't say baby. This is the reason why when you actually read the Bible and you take it faith value for what God's word says, we don't know if Jesus was still a baby at this time or a young child. Okay, is what it literally says. Because oftentimes we get our theology from movies. Don't get your theology from movies. Amen? Okay, don't get it from cults or people that don't teach the Bible. Get it from God himself. Amen? That means you must be a literalist when it comes to the Bible. It says, young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. What are the gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So what were the gifts that were given to this young child Jesus? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So gold. Gold represents who he is. Jesus is our king. Frankincense. Think of incense. It represents his ministry. Jesus is our great high priest. There's a lot more we could say. I'm just being kind of brief and specific. Myrrh. You would not give a baby myrrh. Why? Myrrh was used to embalm dead bodies. It's like, oh, such a beautiful baby boy. Here you go. Oh, it's like, excuse me. So these are prophetic. Myrrh was used to embalm the dead bodies. So it's not quite the birth present you're going to take. Oh, congratulations, it's a boy. Here's a cigar and here's some myrrh to celebrate and to prepare for his death. So it was a prophecy of what he will do. What would he do? He would be the one to die, even for Mary's sins and ours too. Amen? And we believe that God so loved the world, the Greek word is cosmos, any and all of God's creation, that he gave his only begotten son, gave him over to die on the cross for our sins. Let's all stand, please. We're going to just close with a word of prayer here. And I want to encourage you this season that if you need to get your heart and your life right with God, please do so. Remember that as we celebrate this season, this time of year, we remember that Jesus came here to die on the cross for our sins. Let's live in that way. Okay? And let's share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ with the world. Amen. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. We ask, God, that you please would equip us, both the adults and the children. Equip us with your word, as you taught us your word of truth and the prophecies herein. God, we ask that you please would empower us mightily, God. Help us to be preachers of your word of truth. As we leave here, whenever we do, we leave as missionaries. So help us to go forth and preach the good news of salvation through Jesus. And let's use this time, Father, help us, God, to see the open doors you're going to give us with friends and family and neighbors and co-workers. When we go to stores, we're going to see all these things that are about Christmas. And we know it's not about Santa Claus or Christmas trees or Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph or any of these things that the devil's using to hijack. These things are meant to point to you, Jesus, being our great high priest, being the one that died on the cross for our sins. So please empower us today. Father, help us. Encourage us. Comfort us, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, God bless you guys.